Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. The Bigger War.
Hello. Perhaps by now you are tired of hearing me talk about Madeleine Albright's genocide against the Serbs. There certainly are plenty of other interesting things we could discuss. More horrifying black-on-white crimes that the Jewish media have hushed up. More shocking details of Clinton's treasonous sale of American security to China. More of the fallout from that school shooting in Colorado last month and what it reveals about the corruption of public life in America. All of these things are important, but none is quite as important as Madeleine Albright's war against Serbia. And it's not just that Albright murders more people in Serbia every day than are killed in a year of schoolyard shootings in America. It is the fundamental lessons for us, the fundamental warnings, which are spelled out so clearly by the NATO murder campaign against the Serbs. An advantage which sometimes comes from studying foreign events instead of domestic affairs is that the distance lends clarity to the lesson. Looking at events happening 7,000 miles away in Serbia, we can see the whole forest without the trees getting in our way. Actually, I'm sticking my neck out a bit and talking about the war in the Balkans at this time. The war may be over by the time I'm on the air. Today, as I prepare my commentary, there's talk that a Russian delegation may soon be on its way to Belgrade to pressure the Serbs into surrendering to NATO. The Albright gang in America are smirking and rubbing their hands and laughing among themselves as they tell each other that it's an offer Milosevic won't be able to refuse. Here's the idea. Russia is supposed to be Serbia's only ally. It's not that the Russian government has given the Serbs any tangible assistance, but among the Russian people, there is almost unanimous support for the Serbs, so Russia is said to be Serbia's ally. The nominal head of the Russian government, of course, is a chronically sick, alcoholic clown, Boris Yeltsin, who serves much the same role in Russia that Bill Clinton serves here. He is simply a Russian frontman for the Jewish billionaires and the Jewish mafia bosses who are bleeding Russia dry. And alongside Yeltsin, as the prime minister of Russia until last Wednesday, was Yevgeny Primakov, who was born with the name Pinchas Finkelstein. So heading the Russian government at the time it agreed with NATO last week on the demands to be made on Serbia, we had a front man for the Jews and a Jew, which meant that any support, diplomatic or otherwise, the Serbs might receive from Russia was likely to be purely illusory. With Primakov Finkelstein's departure a few days ago, things are a bit up in the air at the moment. But if the Kremlin delegation does go ahead and present Albright's demands to Milosevic, he will be under a great deal of pressure to surrender. If he doesn't surrender, then the Russian government, which is no more a truly Russian government than the Clinton government is an American government, can wash its hands of Serbia saying, "We tried to help, but he rejected us." That will leave Serbia all alone, and Albright and her crew can continue their campaign of genocide against the Serbs, pretending that they tried to negotiate, but the Serbs wouldn't listen to reason. And if Milosevic does accept the Kremlin offer, it will be equivalent to surrendering to NATO. It will amount to yielding his country's rights to its own territory and turning it over to the international criminals who have been bombing and killing his people. Now, why is this important to Americans? Why should we care whether Albanians or Serbs or NATO runs Serbia's Kosovo province? Certainly, we don't really care when some bunch of blacks in Africa fights with another bunch over who will run some Bantustan. What difference will some little theft of territory in the Balkans make to us? I've explained this before, and I'll explain it again. The outcome of this war to take Kosovo away from Serbia is important because it is a new kind of war, which will help to establish a new principle if it is successful. That new principle is that the new world order, as embodied in NATO or the United Nations or whatever other supranational body the board of directors of the new world order chooses, can tell any country in the world how to govern itself and then destroy anyone who doesn't obey. It will mean an end to national sovereignty. It will mean an end to national independence. It will mean an end to freedom. Now, I know that there are a lot of liberal nitwits out there who think that that will be just wonderful. Sovereignty and independence are bad words to liberals. They believe that interdependence is much better than independence. They believe that everything will be much nicer when there are no more sovereign nations and the whole world is ruled by a committee. No more rich and powerful nations, no more poor and weak nations, everyone equal. And no one will be mistreated. Governments will be forced to be nice to their citizens. Of course, we may have to break a few eggs, Serbia, for example, in order to make this wonderful omelet. But it will be well worth it in the end, the liberals believe. In the end, we will have true democracy and equality everywhere. You know, the liberal mind is a strange thing. I am sure that they really do want their omelet, and they really are willing to break as many eggs as it takes, to commit as much genocide as they have to. But they certainly don't believe in democracy or equality. No one with any sense at all believes in equality. And as for democracy, look at what's been going on in some of the countries they've got signed up for their current egg-breaking foray in the Balkans. This is not a war that the people of the NATO countries voted for or that they wish to continue. It is enormously unpopular in most of them. But the politicians at the top are sure that they know better than the voters what's good for them. That is, what's good for the politicians that Madeleine Albright has been bribing to stay in her war against Serbia. Even the voters in the world's prime boob hatchery, the United States of America, are beginning to have second thoughts about the wisdom of running around the world kicking sand in everyone's face just because we're big enough to get away with it. Not even Mr. Clinton's coalition of brain-dead rabble, who in the past have given him his high poll ratings, are solidly behind his genocide against Serbia any longer. Last Saturday, U.S. voter support for continuing the bombing was down to 43% and falling. Even the flag-waving yahoos at the American Legion are sick of the senseless slaughter. Last week, the Legion's National Executive Committee unanimously called on the Clinton government to stop the bombing and withdraw all U.S. forces from the region immediately. But that's all right. The Jews and their ever-worshipful liberal elite followers know what's best and are determined to continue their murder campaign down to the last Serb if Milosevic doesn't surrender, regardless of what the voters think about it. They already have gotten away with so much that they really believe that they can do whatever they want with impunity. Did you hear the news last week when the Clinton government, in effect, admitted in court that it had no credible evidence to justify blowing up a pharmaceutical factory in Sudan last year? I told you at the time that Clinton had no justification for firing his cruise missiles last August 20th at a pharmaceutical factory in Khartoum, Sudan, which he claimed was a nerve gas factory. I told you that he destroyed this factory just because he felt he needed to do something to prove that the United States isn't powerless against terrorists of the sort who blew up two U.S. embassies in Africa. What he actually did was prove that the United States has itself become a terrorist country, which will fire its missiles wherever it damned well pleases without worrying about any sort of legal or moral justification. Mr. Clinton proved that the United States will kick sand in the face of anyone it wants to. Sudan just happens to have the misfortune of being in Osama bin Laden's part of the world. Well, the owners of the bombed pharmaceutical factory sued the U.S. government, and the government caved in last week, declining to provide any evidence to support its claim that the pharmaceutical factory was anything but a pharmaceutical factory. The owners will win their case, and the Clinton government will hope that everyone forgets about it as soon as possible. Letting a government get away with that sort of lawless activity is not a good policy. The attitude which was behind the attack on the pharmaceutical factory is the same attitude which is behind the attack on Serbia. The Clinton government got away with it in Sudan. No one was even sent to prison for that totally irresponsible act of terrorism. If the Clinton government wins in Serbia, then the people who do this sort of thing will believe that nothing can stop them. They will believe that whenever they want to change some country's borders or force some country to change its internal policies, all they have to do is fire off a few cruise missiles. That is why I fervently hope that Slobodan Milosevic will not surrender to Madeleine Albright. That is why I hope that he will tell Yeltsin and whoever takes Primakov's place, "Thanks for your help, but no thanks. We will continue to defend our country against aggression, even if we must do it alone. We will not permit foreign troops on our soil." I hope that is what he will say, even though the murderous thugs running NATO certainly will continue their bombing and will kill more Serbs for a while. I don't want more Serbs killed, but even less do I want Albright and her gang to get away with their aggression. I believe that if Milosevic and his Serbs can hold out against the NATO gangsters for a few weeks longer, international pressure against NATO will continue to build, and eventually they will slink away with their tails between their legs. We need for NATO to have that setback. The world needs it. The world will be greatly indebted to Serbia if the Serbs hold out against NATO now. You know, last week when I reaffirmed a statement that I had made the week before to the effect that it would be good if the Serbs were to sink an American warship in the Adriatic, some listeners disagreed with me. One listener told me that he has a nephew on the aircraft carrier USS Roosevelt in the Adriatic, and he is distressed that I should want any harm to befall his nephew. After all, he says, most servicemen haven't any idea about the real issues here. All they know is the official propaganda line taught to them by their bosses in the Pentagon. They aren't to blame for what's happening, and they shouldn't be punished. The hatred against American servicemen is building up everywhere in the world, and I shouldn't add to that hatred, he says. Well, of course, I don't want this listener's nephew to drown in the Adriatic if the USS Roosevelt is sunk, or anyone else's nephew. But the fact is that our people, that is, Europeans, white people, are being killed every day by Madeleine Albright's rockets and bombs because the USS Roosevelt and other U.S. warships are in the Adriatic. I'm willing to accept that this listener's nephew doesn't understand the issues and isn't really an evil person. I'm willing to accept that he's just an unwitting pawn in Albright's murder machine, and I wish him no harm. But the machine is being used to kill our people in Serbia. And undoubtedly, many of these Serbs that Albright's murder machine is killing are no more valuable members of our race than this listener's nephew. Undoubtedly, there are some criminals and some drunkards and some lawyers and some welfare cases among the Serbs being killed in Belgrade and in Kosovo. And certainly, There are many Serbs who have no more a clue to the real issues here than the sailors on the USS Roosevelt. But the Serbs aren't part of Madeleine Albright's murder machine, and my listener's nephew is. That is the key difference here. The fact is that we are in a bad position now. All of us are in a bad position. I and the Serbs and my listener and his nephew, our whole race, because we have let Madeleine and her murderous tribe get the upper hand over us. That is the problem we have to deal with. Until we get Madeleine and all the rest of her tribe off our backs, our people will be lied to, our people will be exploited, and our people will be killed. So we need to focus on getting Madeleine and her tribe off our backs. Anything which takes us closer to that goal is good, and anything which diverts us from that goal is bad. Let's keep our eyes on the forest, not just on the trees. I hope I have made myself clear. What we want to see come out of this war specifically is a defeat for NATO, regardless of how that comes about. We would like to see that defeat come about without any more losses for our people, whether Americans or Serbs. But there almost certainly will be more losses, at least among the Serbs, because the gangsters running this war won't give up easily. They will continue killing as long as they can. As public disapproval of this war grows, both in America and elsewhere, as more U.S. embassies around the world are burned, as more organizations such as the American Legion, God bless those yahoos, raise their voice against the war, and as more politicians over here follow the polls and become more concerned about the desires of their constituents than about pleasing the Jews, a defeat for NATO and for Madeleine Albright and for the New World Order will become more likely. But the Serbs must hold out until that happens. And if the sinking of the USS Roosevelt will help them keep up their morale, then so be it. But you know, if we want to get Madeleine and her tribe off our backs, if we want someday to make an end to them and their scheme for a new world order with us as their serfs, we need to do more than hope for a NATO defeat in Serbia. We need to do everything. We need to speak out. If we belong to an organization, we need to do what we can to make the organization follow the example of the American Legion. We need to write letters to every newspaper which has a public opinion page. We need to get on the telephone and make ourselves heard on every radio talk show. And when there are demonstrations against the war, we need to participate in them even if we don't agree with everyone else in the demonstration on every issue. And I should say this also. In responding to this current war, it will behoove us to think about it in its larger context. Making NATO back down this one time will not stop Madeleine and her crew from trying something else just as bloody and destructive the next time they see a chance. To them, it's not just NATO against Serbia. They always think about the struggle in its larger context. And as I said, we need to do the same. To Madeleine Albright and James Rubin and William Cohen and Sandy Berger and General Wesley Tan Clark, this isn't a war of America versus Serbia or of NATO versus Serbia. It's a war of their people against our people. NATO versus Serbia is only one little episode in a bigger war that they have been waging against us for thousands of years, and which they believe that they are now on the verge of winning once and for all. They have totally corrupt Gentiles as their front men in the United States, in Britain, and in Russia. They have a death grip on the mass media. They have the wealth and military might of the United States at their disposal. They have bribed and intimidated the politicians of 20 nations into going along with their war against Serbia. it may seem like a rather precarious house of cards they have built, but if they can keep it together long enough to prevail over Serbia, they will have greatly strengthened their position and will be much more likely to prevail over their next victim. They may beat us in this NATO versus Serbia battle, or they may not. But if we are to have any hope of beating them in the long run, if we are to have any hope of winning the bigger war and not just this battle, then we must understand the war the way they do. We must learn to think in the bigger context the way they do. We must think in terms of what is good for our people, for our race in the long run, not what will help the Democrats or the Republicans win the next election, not what will give the Protestants an advantage over the Catholics or vice versa, not what will give our people who speak French an edge over our people who speak English, not what will allow Americans to show Serbs that we have more cruise missiles and B-2 bombers than they do, not what will allow any part of our people, defined only by geography or language or religion or politics, to prevail over any other part of our people. We must think in terms of blood, of family, of race, first and foremost. We must understand that we and the Serbs are of the same family, the same blood, the same race, and that Madeleine Albright and James Rubin and William Cohen and Sandy Berger and Richard Holbrooke and General Wesley Cann Clark and all of the big media bosses who are behind this war against Serbia belong to a different family, a different race, a race which always has been hostile to ours. For too long, we have allowed them to manipulate us, to set one part of us against another part in wars they cooked up for their own advantage. That has never been truer than in this war against Serbia. It is a Jewish war, and only Jews can benefit from it. We should not be involved in it. We should do everything we can to ensure that the Jews lose it. But regardless of what happens in the Balkans in the next few months, we need to continue building our new way of looking at the world and judging things, our way based on family and blood and race. That's the only way we can beat these new world order thugs in the long run. That's the only way we can keep the Jews from using their age-old trick of setting one part of our people against another part. And you know, for those of us who just like to fight, those who enjoy a family squabble, we can go back to fighting among ourselves in the future if we really must, but only after we have beaten the enemy of us all, the world enemy. Thanks for being with me again today.